today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
You know, Jim, John Bonham was one of the greatest drummers of all time.
Yep, Patrick. I'd put him right up there with Keith Moon, Buddy Rich, Tony Allen, and Ginger Baker.
Me too, but you left one person off that list.
Who's that?
Brad Mailer.
Of course. All right, we're into the top six now of the Led Zeppelin countdown.
We're getting there.
We asked the loyal listeners to give us their top 10 list, and we compiled all of those votes into a top 15.
Yes, we did.
Play three songs each day, counting down the hits like Casey Kasem.
That's right. And all the way to the top.
All the way to the top. So we're not going to go all the way to the top today. That's tomorrow's episode. Today we're going to feature numbers 6, 5, and 4.
Cool.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Also with us this week are classic rock fans.
Kevin Spain.
Brad Mailer.
Rob Gates.
All right, let's just get to number six here. Bad Times, that is track one off of Led Zeppelin's debut album. And we should, of course, mention again that the reason we're doing this countdown this week is because that album came out 50 years ago.
That's right.
January.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
50 years ago.
I just think that song just has tremendous swagger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It definitely does. Yeah.
It's such an amazing tune.
But I got to hear the drummer, though. I want the drummer assessment on this song.
It's an amazing, like, that's the thing about this song, right? This is the first song in their first album, and it punches you in the face with an amazing drummer. Like, you can hear those, the foot, you know, just amazing
stuff. Doing
stuff
nobody'd been doing before.
And same thing with the rest of the band, though, right? Like, it's groundbreaking from the get-go, and it says, we are Led Zeppelin. Take it.
This is why, Jim, I was saying that I think this is the 70s, because in 1969, if you put this album on and this song plays, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
It really
you
is.
Know, because
like, whoa.
This, to me, is like, we're going a new way here.
There is something very 70s sounding about this song, even though it came out in 69.
You know
what I mean? But I remember there was a movie a few years ago called American Hustle. Do you remember that movie? And it was set in the 70s, and they used this like in the trailer, like on the soundtracks, because it immediately puts you in the mindset of the 70s.
I totally agree, man. Yeah. I really, this song is great because this is really the introduction a lot of people had to this band back in that time. And it's like, wow, this is something we've not heard before. Right. It takes everything we've heard up to this point to a whole different, like, hard, loud level. And, yeah, no, I think it's a great song.
Yeah, it's 100% agree.
Its placement on the album reminds me very much of Running with the Devil on Van Halen 1. Yeah. Mm. You know, it's stuff that no one's heard of before, and it just like it just punches you.
Right.
Like it makes a statement right out of the gate.
Yeah, there was a lot of jamming.
Yeah, it is a great song.
It's really tight.
It's like
too,
one of the only ones that I've rated on my list that made the list.
Yes, me. Yeah, me as well. Yes.
Rob, you had this on your list. Kevin, let me check. Yes, Kevin had this on your... Jim, did you have this on your list?
Yep.
I did not have it on my list.
Wow.
Didn't somebody make... needs to get punched.
So which of the three of you is going to be the new co-host?
I'd really just fired myself from this podcast right then. Let's rewind.
Most of my list did not make the
So talk about that.
Yeah.
So the one thing I noticed was I had a couple songs from In Through the Outdoor.
You did.
And I don't know how much you want me to give away, but I will say there are no songs from that album on this list.
Okay.
There are none.
So it definitely trends early.
Yes.
Then later. But I think Kevin and I were talking during the break and agree that Fool in the Rain.
Great.
You know,
it's
a great song. That
love that drum beat.
And then my number one song didn't make it at all. And I know, Patrick, you have the tallies. Am I the only one that even picked it?
That picked what is and what should never be. Let me give you that. Five people actually chose that. So it just missed out, kind of, well, a little bit below just missing out the bottom end of the table here. But if you don't mind, Rob, I really like what you wrote here about that song. You said, much like Stairway, it starts as a ballad and builds to a heavy metal crescendo, but it does this between verse and chorus, where Stairway is, well, a one-way climb. This song is also a challenge to sing. You know, just tried to read the lyrics, and Plant seems to handle the vocals with ease, plus retreated to that amazing mid-song, How did this get here? Riff from Jimmy Page. So that's really well said too. It's a cool tune.
It's great.
And you also had All My Love from In Through the Outdoor on your list as well.
Yes.
That's great too.
Yep.
That's one of those hummable songs. You just hear it in the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You just hum that song.
I think part of the reason for my love for In Through the Outdoor is when I was at summer camp in the late 70s.
Laser Zeppelin?
No, not Laser Zeppelin. All right. Just regular summer camp.
Yeah.
But I think that was the only tape that my counselor had in his boombox.
Nice.
So we were exposed to that entire album for the entire summer.
Over and over.
And I think Fool in the Rain was easily his favorite song, because whenever we walked into our cabin, that's what was playing.
Fool in the Rain. In Through the Outdoor was also a cool album because when you took the inner sleeve out and you dampened it with water, it would change color. I don't know if you know that, but I'll have to find my copy and see if it's like that. Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of a couple of the later Led Zeppelin albums, to this point in this countdown, everything has been from the first four albums. But now, with number five, we have something from Physical Graffiti.
Great song.
However, I still to this day do not understand how in Fast Times in Ridgemont High it is attributed to being on Led Zeppelin 4.
Oh, is that right?
It is.
It is. So the scene goes, Damone's talking to Rat, and he says,
"Now this is most important, Rat. It comes down to making out. Whenever possible, put on side one of Led Zeppelin 4.
And then the next scene is Rat in the car with, I forget her name, and they're playing Cashmere. And this continues to bother me.
But they're all stoned on Fast Mode.
No, maybe he got it wrong.
Because of Cameron Crowe's connection with that, like, you would think that's so basic.
I just think maybe the character put on the wrong record.
Yeah, right? Could be.
Oh, so you think it was like a deliberate... Because, like, he didn't know, all right.
I'm telling you, they're all stoned in that movie, so, you know, you never know what they were doing.
This one surprised me a little bit, I'll say. I mean, I guess I know it's sort of a beloved song, but I'm surprised that it's number five. I don't know. Any other thoughts on it?
I personally have a sense that Plant and Page feel it's their magnum opus.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure about that, but I think that they really think it's Led Zeppelin.
Everybody else thinks it's Stairway to Heaven, and they think it's Kashmir because of the, all the what they were able to do. When you talk about an arrangement, I think that would be what you would say about this song, the way they put this thing together. It's really well done. It really shows how great they are as musicians, I think. And you're right. I think it may be higher than some people would think, too.
Yeah, I was a little surprised about coming in at number five, but it does create a powerful aura, you know, and it is a lot of that sort of Led Zeppelin mystique. I think this is, you know, you imagine the airship landing. This would be the music that would be playing, right, as the frightened peasants receive the, you know, that's final judgment.
That's one of the things that really bothers me about Zeppelin in general is like the mystique and the,
yeah,
like the Lord of the Ringsization of everything and like occult and, you know, just all this really weird stuff. And it's like, what are you guys thinking? I don't care. I like the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole Jimmy Page flirtation with Aleister Crowley or whoever that guy is.
He bought his house.
Yeah, to live in.
Like, it's just weird. Mm-hmm. Like,
It's strange stuff.
But they made good music. That's what's important.
Yeah, they were able to. Well, you know, I think there was an incredible burst of songwriting that they did that started with Led Zeppelin III. And, you know, they were up in the Welsh Mountains or something, and they got some of those gentler songs on side two, you know, and that kind of feel, Tangerine and That's the Way and things like that. And then it, you know, it, obviously, the fourth album was a pinnacle, but then there was so much amazing stuff on Physical Graffiti. It sprawls for two sides, and there's not a lot of wasted stuff. This is one of those double albums where you could say, I don't know if you could cut it down and make it a better single album. You can say that for many double albums. Maybe not Zen Arcade or Double Nickels on the Dime, but this one also, Physical Graffiti. What would you really take off? There's not a whole lot that you could take off. But yeah, I was so surprised. Did anyone here have this song on their list? Yeah. You did? Kevin did. I did not. Yep.
For a while, when I was younger, it was one of my faves. Mm-hmm, but
And Physical Graffiti, of course, has the song on it, which is the title of the album that came after it.
Right.
Yes. another trick to keep you moving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we have one song from Houses of the Holy that made it on the countdown.
Okay.
So that is the number four song here.
You got so much.
Hills and Far Away, and I just love how all of us in unison sort of like made this like rock star motions when the song kicked into the electric part, right?
That's right. Unforced. Yes. Greatest or most popular air drumming band of all time. You think more people drum to air Zeppelin?
No. Rush. No. Rush is
oh yeah, that's right. Rush. Yes,
yeah.
You're right.
Maybe Rush. Yeah.
Yep. Right. Yeah, good call, Brad.
Rush, which was on FM 104 in Toledo, was the other band that was on every other song.
Yeah.
So you basically basically alternated between Led Zeppelin and Rush all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say this actually might be my number one Led Zeppelin song.
Oh, okay.
And I think because to me this is the perfection of the like sort of quiet, loud Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
You know, the acoustic, that acoustic intro, and the thing I like particularly about this one is that it does have a little bit of a build. There's before it then kicks in with the electric stuff. And then that whole, to me, that's just a perfect little riff.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily it's not like Whole Lot of Love or something like that, where it's like the centerpiece of the song. It sort of comes in a little bit later, mm-hmm. and it's just this beautiful little touch that sort of goes throughout the song.
Yeah.
I love this song so much. It's one of those songs I could just put on repeat and just listen to it over and over again.
Yeah, it is a great blend of the heavier and acoustic bass stuff. And, you know, Houses of the Holy is an interesting album. It's got what I would say maybe is the worst Led Zeppelin song. Well, I've got to see how many people voted for that. And but also, you know, one of my all time favorite songs, I didn't put Over the Hills and Far Away on my list, but the Rain Song to me is one of the most beautiful Led Zeppelin tunes there is. I mean, and that gets symphonic. There's like a whole symphony there at the end of that song. And then, of course, you got Dire Maker and The Ocean on this album as well.
Yeah,
they're
the
both
Ocean.
Stone Cold classics.
That's my number two, The Ocean.
The Ocean is a Stone Cold classic as well as No Quarter. And the song I'm referencing is The Crunge.
Yeah.
It's just, they shouldn't have done that.
Crunge.
No.
Don't do The Crunge, no, man.
But take that one off and then look at that track list,
I know. It's kind of
this
incredible.
This is a great album.
I think this is an underappreciated Led Zeppelin album.
Oh, definitely.
Agreed.
So. Yeah. Definitely so.
My second favorite Led Zeppelin album. Yeah. And yet only one representation on the list.
I know, isn't that funny?
So again, the list skews very early.
Yeah.
You know, it was something you brought up earlier, Patrick, about how beginning with, I think you said three or four, and their songwriting and how it changed. One and two is a lot of their interpretation of like folk music and blues and R&B and a lot of the stuff from the 60s that they just sort of make their own. And then after that is when they start writing a lot of different songs. And this album is an album of songs that are just all over the map, really.
Yeah, by this point,
yeah, well said.
In 1973, they were Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, they
you know
were.
What I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they were iconic already by this point in time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as we said, touching on Physical Graffiti too, to that point, I forget which song it is. Maybe it's one of those songs. I don't know if it's Down by the Seaside or which is an amazing song on that record, but you hear the sound of an airplane. You know, you hear the sound of an airplane flying over, and then you hear...
Now leave it.
Yeah, and Jimmy Page, just leave it. You know, it like blends in so perfectly with the tune, and their minds were open to that kind of thing, like you were saying, Kevin. They had left their roots and were moving into, you know, a totally different direction.
Okay, let's wrap this one up, and then we're going to get to the top three tomorrow.
Big day.
All right, Rob is going to have to leave us.
Rob, unfortunately, has a Friday thing going on, so he can't be here tomorrow. Be here.
But thank you, Rob, for
joining. Thank you so much, Rob, for that and all your insight. It's been great.
Pleasure to be here.
All right. Tell us what you like or don't like about Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. You can call 612-440-1984. Leave a message, or you can email rock@suburbspod.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All those at Suburbs Pod. And then also, please subscribe to the show. Please rate and review the show. Those things help us out, right?
They do.
All right.
It's very important for us as a community. And I think it'll make you feel good, too, if you subscribe somebody to this show.
Do that.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the top three.
Great.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Kevin Spain.
I'm Brad Malin.
And I'm Rob Gates.
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob. And we'll talk to everyone tomorrow.
This is a nice car.
Yeah, it's my sister's.
Yeah? Do you have Mrs. Joy in English?
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Yeah, she